Our final interview takes a look at the refitting of rigid gas permeable RGP contact lenses in a long-term wearer, and specifically, how long-term RGP wear can affect the spectacle prescription and the shape of the cornea. OQ listener Anna Turvey noticed that refracting RGP wearers could sometimes cause problems, so she got in touch via our online survey to suggest that we look at this topic. Here she speaks to Judith Morris, a senior lecturer in contact lens education at City University and senior optometrist in contact lenses at the Institute of Optometry. She's also an honorary life member of both the British Contact Lens Association and the College of Optometrists.
What kinds of problems can occur for long-term wearers of RGP lenses?
Well, I suppose one should start with the sort of typical change that we all associate with RGP lenses, and that's 3 and 9 o'clock staining. And I must admit, okay, staining does move into a sort of Dellon situation, a very acute drying and thinning of and very strong staining. But often I seem to miss that, and you get to the stage of, if like life continues on a chronic fashion over years, that you start getting encroaching vessels at the areas of the staining, which are initiated by dryness, obviously not by lack of oxygen. And eventually those areas tend to opacify, so you do get a milky aspect to the tissue, often called the vascularized limbal keratitis. And that's something that we do have to accept is due to this chronic aspect of drying beyond the lens edge. Interestingly enough, I did a study at the Institute of Optometry many years ago, looking at patients who were PMMA lens wearers compared to RGP lens wearers and how quickly 3 and 9 o'clock staining occurred. And with the PMMA lens wearers, on average, it took about 15 years before it really became an issue. Whereas RGP lens wearers, it was about after a year of wear that it became an issue. And one would assume because these days RGP designs have less edge clearance, so that's not the factor. I don't think design is really what it's all about. It's obviously materials and the interaction with the tears and the stability of the tear film over these newer materials, which are physiologically better, but just seem to have a bit more impact on things. So that was something of interest. But in general cases, I find a number of my patients happily deal with re-wetting, maybe reducing down their wearing time. Very often, if they've got fed up wearing lenses a bit, they and their eyes get a bit red in the horizontal areas, then they just reduce down or wear spectacles much more often than their GP lenses. Some go to daily disposables if they're just wearing lenses socially, but often long-term RGP lens wearers can also wear their RGP socially, so without any discomfort, so that's fine. And these days, glasses anyway are much nicer, lighter on the face, so they're keener to wear glasses than they used to be in the past. The other aspects that are very much associated with long-term wear would be some of the epithelial basement membrane changes. Sometimes you see them in little arcuate changes with negative staining. So when you look with your fluorescene, you just see little blue areas, usually slightly peripheral, maybe related to the weight of the transition on that particular area. Or beyond that, and maybe where the lens is bearing slightly, you might see some epithelial wrinkling, which are sort of furrows you can see in the fluorescein picture. The ones that I see with long-term wearers but seem to disappear actually when you remove the lenses are either little stress lines, which you sort of get an arcuate line and then maybe two or three linear vertical lines coming off from there, again maybe associated at the weight of weighted part of the lens, be it a high myope or a high hypermetrope, and also the Fischer-Schweitzer mosaic, which has a very unusual pattern that if you've never seen, if you get a keratoconic patient and just massage with the lid on the cone area, you get the same sort of picture. Though both the Fischer-Schweitzer pattern and the sort of stress line area do tend to disappear with lens removal, whereas the epithelial basement membrane and epithelial wrinkling you in a sense only see once you've removed the lenses. But they're to be noted and just a factor of long-term wear, and I've never found them to be of a particular worry as such. The other factor is the tears. As life goes on, our tears change. Wearing lenses of any sort, and RGPs included, that will maybe make the tear film less stable. And also female patients are going to go through the menopause, which has a hormonal link with tears. So you're going to get changes to the tears, which can increase the chance of lens adherence and also obviously alter how the lens wets. So luckily, we have ways of dealing with some of those things in terms of fitting, designs and materials. But the other factor that's very much associated with long-term wear in some patients is lid hypertrophy, where you see either one eye or both eyes having a ptosis. And with time anyway, the levator muscles will slightly sag and get weaker. But just the general removal of stare, pulling and blinking and the thinning and stretching of that muscle must have some impact. And presumably this is the reason why we get this ptosis in some patients. Some patients are very aware of it, other patients are not concerned, and if there is an awareness, it's usually a factor of, say, driving at night and noticing they're not seeing so well. And a very good test as to whether the ptosis is the issue is ask them to lift their lids up, and gosh, yes, I can see much better. Well, then we need to do something about it, and surgical treatment really is the only form of method, and that works quite happily. Patients are very happy with the results, usually. We still have to realise that the tarsal plate itself will have changed just because of the lid going over a rigid lens day in, day out for 30 or 40 years. So you will get increased hyperemia and roughness to the tarsal plate just as a factor of wearing RGP lenses, as much as there are any tarsal plate changes with wearing any form of contact lens. And lastly, I suppose, is the endothelium, and especially those who maybe started off with PMMA and then moved on to GPs, is whether there have been any endothelial changes over time and what implications these are for cataract extractions and having IOLs. And that's something, I suppose, in due course we might find out.
What are the effects of long-term RGP lens wear on the spectacle prescription?
Well, basically, you should be able to go straight from contact lenses to spectacles as a patient, and basically therefore you should be able to go straight from contact lenses to do an eye exam as a practitioner. And if the result you get doesn't seem to correlate with either the last spectacle prescription and when the patient's been looked at from a contact lens point of view, there are issues in relation to the K readings haven't changed or it doesn't match up with the lens they're wearing, then you might want to first of all repeat the eye examination, and if you saw them later in the afternoon, then maybe go and see them first thing in the morning. But if that doesn't help, then you are looking at the issues in relation to the lens on the eye. In other words, has there been any moulding of the cornea? Is that related to the fact that they're astigmatic and they've been wearing aspheric lenses that have moulded their eyes? These sorts of things. And the way you actually find out as to whether you have got to a point where the spectacle prescription should be given is very simply by monitoring the K readings. Whatever you might do from a fitting point of view, you should check the patient every so often, maybe on a monthly basis for 2 or 3 months, and just check, besides the fitting, just check their K readings. And once you've got 2 consistent visits with the same K readings, that's the time you should go back and do the spectacle prescription, and you'll find usually then that is your absolute spec Marex, and they get good vision with that prescription. The other lenses that also can give this sort of moulding is back surface multifocals. Because of the way they have to be fitted with a steep fitting, then you're going to get physiological changes, and so therefore you will get corneal shape changes. So I suppose the only other time is if a lens adheres, then you will get pronounced distortion, and that would be affected by lens adhesion being affected by the tears, so that would need to be sorted out before, again, maybe doing the eye examination.
How would an optometrist overcome these issues with minimal inconvenience to the patient?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to remember that besides refitting with medium to high DK materials and looking at the wetting implications of the newer materials, is also to remember that these days, with astigmatic patients, that I, even at 2 diopters of SIL, would actually think of sometimes doing a toric lens to get the lens to centre better, especially if that's been one of the issues in relation to changes to the cornea with a particular lens that the person's been wearing. So you can get, torics are much easier to make these days. So going to 2 diopters rather than waiting till they've got 3 or 4 diopters of corneal astigmatism to fit torics, I think is on the cards, which is, a good way, as I say, of helping fitting. And also in relation to tears and the way the lenses behave, that we fit alignment rather than too much of the alignment to flat, watching where lenses actually sit, because if they skid over the limbus, then as someone gets older and their tear film changes, they are much more likely to get some adhesion, so one wants to avoid that. But generally, aspheric designs with toric back surfaces are now something that I would think about quite happily more than I ever did before. So we've got newer materials, newer designs, just concepts of looking after our patient and being aware that, quite frankly, if they're a successful rigid lens wearer, then they should be able to go from their lenses to their spectacles, and you should be able to do a refraction from lenses to the refraction without any issues. And if it doesn't work out, then you need to relook at all the other aspects that we've discussed.
What guidelines should be followed to ensure continuing successful contact lens wear?
Well, I think we really have to understand that a lot of what we do with a patient is patient determined. In other words, we might get a new marvellous material that you think, okay, this is going to solve the patient's problems, and it might do that. On the other hand, it might create others just because you decided to change the material because it's a good idea as they need some new lenses. So I think we do have to realise that certain aspects of lens wear does relate to how the patient will perform with particular designs and materials, and you can't predict, and that's the fun of the health of practice. But I am into medium to high DK materials these days. I must admit I don't personally fit low DK materials, and there are a number of new materials around, especially with better wetting, which is obviously, again, something that one needs to worry about with long-term wear and is a useful adjunct to materials that we have. So the good wetting surfaces are something I'm always looking for, because very often the oxygen side of things is perfectly okay in relation to how the lens performs on the eye, but I need better wetting. So I'm always trying new wetting materials, and that's something I definitely do. When someone needs a new pair of lenses, I'm always talking to them about, let's try something different, maybe a different design, an aspheric design compared to a multi-curve, if I think their edge clearance is a bit too much or something, and definitely looking at newer materials. As I say, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I think, to be fair to your patient, you should at least give it a try.
Thank you very much for your advice.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Shanna and Judith. References for this topic are in the usual places.